Lord, help us to hear from you. As we look to your word, will you be glorified? Help us to not just read your word, but to be doers of your word for your honor and glory. Amen. 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 Don't worry, I know time is flying by. I'm not going to keep you for too long. What does family mean to you? When I say family, it means lots of different things, and we will all have a different idea of what family means. Different cultures, different shapes, sizes. Family will mean lots of different things. My family, as I've already said, is changing by the year. I've now got a son, and I'm going to get another son in a month. Praise God. Families are changing all the time. New birth, we've been celebrating a lot of new birth recently, and all that brings, all you parents know, the sleepless nights, and families are changing. And often we see in England and maybe USA and Western cultures is family can often be parents and children. But we know when you go to other countries, it can mean multiple generations. So it can be aunties, uncles, grandmas, granddads, and even other people. So when you speak of family, it conjures up a lot of different things in your minds. What does God say about family? 1 John 3 says, see what kind of love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. And what will be has not yet appeared. But we will know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Just look at the person next to you and say, you're my brother or sister. You know, there's only me and my sister. I know some of you are really shocked by this now, aren't you? There's only me and my sister that can look at my dad and say, you're my dad. There's only you and your siblings, if you have siblings, that can look at your dad and say, you are my dad. But the joy that we have, that we all can say that he is our father. Amen. Hallelujah. The word safeguarding, as we've looked at this morning, is not actually found in Scripture. It doesn't appear at all. But you will see so often that safeguarding is part of God's heart. That we are family together. If you are my sister, if you are my brother, if you're my brother and sister, then how can I not but help you and support you? Just as I would drive for miles to help my sister. Vinny decided to, well, he didn't decide to, but he had an accident this week on his push bike, came off it, thought he'd broke his knee. Fortunately, he hasn't. He is okay. But as soon as I found out, because he's like a son already, I left everything and went to go and get him. Same as the time when my middle daughter, who's marrying Vinay, had a car crash. Well, I don't know, what is it with them two, shall I? They had a car crash, and when we found out that it was a bad car crash, the car was upside down, it had rolled. And when I drove there, again from here, I drove all the way there, kept to the speed limit, obviously. But when I got so close, you know what happens when there's an accident? It was in the middle of the road, and there was mess. There was tailbacks of traffic. I had to run about half of a mile up a hill to get to them. But there was nothing that was going to stop me from getting to my daughter. And this is what God wants you to know, is that there's nothing that he won't do, no wall he won't break down to get to you. No problem that you face that he will not smash away to come and tell you that you are my child, you are my daughter, you are my son. There's nothing that he won't do for you. He has compassion for us. The verse that we looked at in the PowerPoint, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute or vulnerable. If we are family, if God wants us to be a family together, then those people outside us, as Pastor Peter said a few weeks ago, if we can't love those people outside, then how can we say that we love our people that are in here? If God sent his only son to die on a cross for each and every one of us, to give up his life, to die for every one of us, how can we say that we love our brothers and sisters but yet don't care for those out there? I remember a number of years ago, my old pastor, he was changing his preaching series, and it was very much about the love of God and the father heartness of God. And the first Sunday, he decided that he would dress up in the scruffiest clothes he could find. He wore a big hat, messed all his hair up, even weed on himself on the clothes, so he stank. And he came and walked into the church and sat at the back of the church. And the reason he did it is he wanted to see how the church responded to a person like that. I wonder, how would you respond if Pastor John came in and stunk of wee, tatty clothes, looked scruffy, looked like he'd never had a wash? How would we treat them? How would we look after them? How would we make sure that they're sat with somebody, that they've got somebody to talk to, they maybe have a drink or something? You know, there is a friend in Proverbs that says, sticks closer than a brother. Proverbs 18:24, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is one, there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And that's what God wants you to know. He sticks closer than a brother. Again, I may say the word family, and some of you may really feel angry. Some of you may feel let down. Some of you may feel like you don't understand what that word means. Some of you may not understand what I'm talking about a father's love. I don't know if some of you come to church, and we're a fairly decent-sized church, but you know, sometimes you can come and be in a crowd and still feel lonely, can't you? You can come to church and there can be hundreds of people all mulling around and talking with each other, and yet you can feel as lonely as anything. God doesn't want that. God wants us to be a family. If my sister came in here and I completely ignored her and I never spoke to her or welcomed her, she'd think there's something seriously wrong. And God wants us to be the family that he calls us to be. I remember times when we've done the marriage course over the years, and often a question that comes up from people that haven't got children is, how do you bring up children? And we often say, we ain't got a clue. We try as best. But you try to instill in your children that they can come to you at any point in life, don't you? You always want them to be able to come to you and tell you when they're struggling, tell you when they're going through hard times. And that's exactly what Jesus wants. What God wants you to understand is that you can come to him no matter what you're going through. Family experience We're all coming at it from different angles, but God wants to bring it all together and show you that you're special. Show you that he cares for you. Show you that you are special to him. Sally often had the quote that I am the apple of his eye on her phone and different things, because it was something that God specifically said to her. You know, God wants to say that to each and every one of you. You're the apple of his eye. You mean so much to him. In Matthew 25, we hear a story of what family is all about. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or feed you, hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or need a clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go and visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." Wow. They're strong words, aren't they? Whatever you did for the least of these, you did for me. Again, a principle that Sally and I have tried to teach our kids, the adults now, most of them. Well, they all are. Whenever we see people, you know, if you go to a supermarket and the people outside, we'll often ask them if they need anything, and we'll buy them a sandwich, and we'll give it them. We don't give them cash, but we'll buy them some food. And it's a principle that we've tried to teach our children, to care for those people. They may not know where their next meal's coming from, which is why we do Food Bank, which is why we do the Lighthouse and CAP and all these things. Because I remember a time when I'd only been in this church probably a year or so, and I was invited to go and visit somebody who was, they'd just come out of prison and they'd moved into a psychiatric ward. And this person used to be a millionaire. And within a week, everything had gone. They ended up in prison, then ended up in this psychiatric ward. You know, when you look at vulnerable people, you always can point and, oh yeah, they're vulnerable. But you know, we don't know what's coming around the corner. We don't know what's coming around the corner. Which is why we've got to stick together, stick with each other and support each other. The best place for us, Psalm 91 says, "Those who live in the shelter of the Most High, who find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him." I'm going to ask Josephine and the team to come up. I said I'd be short. I just want to finish with this last scripture. Can we all stand, please, as I read this? Jesus. 1 John 3 from verse 16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. Lord, we thank you that we can come to you and say, Abba, Father. We thank you for the privilege that we have of knowing you, having a relationship with you. And Lord, if there are people in here that maybe don't know the experience of a family or a father, then Lord, I thank you that you are the ultimate father. You are the best example of what a father should be. So Lord, I pray that we will be people that will look after our brothers and sisters, that we will step in the gap where people are feeling alone or isolated, that we will visit people, we will send a card, we will give a phone call, we will do anything that you tell us to do, because when you are with us, we can do all things. So Lord, I pray that no one will be left behind. Lord, I pray, I know it's your heart to make disciples of all nations. It's your will that none should perish. So Lord, I pray that we will be bold in our testimony, in our statement of truth and faith in you. And Lord, I pray that people will know the true Father heartness of you in our lives. Lord, be glorified, we ask, in the name of Jesus. Amen.